dedicated to trots racing. On Winners, welcome to Gate Speed.
And it's time for us to talk trots as we do every Tuesday. And joining me, Blake Redden and Jason Bonington. How are you guys?
Very good, thanks. No, it's great to be back in a wonderful time of year as we warm up towards the new look Victoria Cup, but plenty to get through before we get to the middle of October.
We haven't worked together for a little while, Bon. You've had a couple of weeks off and freshened up. It's good to be back together.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about some of the things that we've learnt over the past week. And first of all, Emma Stewart takes both homegrown classics in blistering start to the season.
Well, you've been on the pulse, Baker, but I must say, I don't think, despite the team's dominance, Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin over the last few years, I don't think I've seen them as dominant as they are right at this very minute in time in Victoria. They just seem to be reeling horses out left, right and centre. First starters, they just win. And certainly with these couple of young horses that they've produced on the weekend at Tabcorp Park, Melton, She's All Rock, and of course Yankee Roller. We knew a bit about Yankee Roller. That was a brilliant Gavin Lang drive. I thought a few little things went his way. You just thought it was exquisite. You thought it was a Michelangelo type drive from Gav. But certainly She's All Rock, both of them were impressive. She's All Rock really looks one out of the box. I asked you this on Saturday morning, I think, whether you thought that she could measure up with the really good ones that we saw go through the bigger races at the end of their two-year-old seasons. I'm not saying she's up to sort of Nostra Villa standard, but she's run very, very quick time in her only two starts to date, and it was an ultra-dominant performance on the weekend.
It does always worry me a little bit when it is the end of the season. All the good ones have pretty much been put away, and this race series is for lesser-class horses, but, you know, she hasn't been there and done it, so that's why she didn't have the prize money to be excluded from the race. But, you know, her performance was very good. She got the job done. We won't know anything until she comes back and takes on those horses. But I'm quite taken with Yankee Roller. I know he has had a few favours in his three or four starts to date, all wins. I think just the way he goes about it, I think he's a nice horse. He looks like a nice horse, and I think he could be one that sort of steps up. Not saying he's a Derby horse necessarily, but he won't be far away.
I don't know how much you learned from the post-race interviews on the weekend, but was She's All Rock, just ducking back to her for a moment, was she like an $11,000 buy or something? She was relatively cheap, I think I saw somebody say on Twitter, and if that's true, once again, it's proof. I mean, you're going to the biggest camp going around in Victoria, but it's still proof that you can get, if not a top liner, well, she's just won a top line race for $11,000. So wonderful opportunity if you've got the right eye, you think somebody else has, and you can maybe pick up one at the sales.
And our next point is Dan beat Man, but were either as good as Sam.
Well done to you, Nads, for just getting that out. And Blake was really proud of all of his little pseudo alliteration here. Dan, so let's go through them. Dan is Major Dan. Man is
Maxi Man,
and San is San Carlo.
Correct.
So different races, but probably San Carlo on Saturday night. He didn't have to beat top liners. He found the front very comfortably. He did exactly what was expected of him, I think, after his wonderful performance in the Breeders' Crown Graduate Free For All as he heads towards the Victoria Cup. But Major Dan was also really good. It was a different type of race. I found it very interesting, his first go at free-for-all level, they had that much respect for Major Dan, though once he found the front, he was always going to lead, no matter where he drew on the front line, let alone inside the front line. But I was really surprised that they've got such respect for him already that nothing really wanted to take him on. It was a very, very slow lead time, slow first quarter. They just had to rip home sub-55 second final half. We didn't probably learn whether he's got, you know, really top-line capabilities based on that performance because he has only had to sprint 800 metres before we get on to San Carlo. But I thought that was interesting for Major Dan, that at least his competitors think you're a good enough horse that we're not going to test you.
It would have been hard because he did get fired up. So you don't really want to go and pressure a horse that you know is fired up and is only going to sort of do everyone harm necessarily.
Normally, so we say he was fired up. I tell you what, he was running some pretty controlled sectionals for a horse who was over racing. And, you know, you don't often see that with horses having their first crack at free for a level. That's all I was a little bit surprised about. I thought they're going to try and test this new kid on the block out. You had some real warriors like Little Flaming Flutter, you know, Young Modern was in the race. Maximan obviously decided to be, they drove it conservatively, but I thought you would have seen more pressure, and I like the fact that he was able to, he already has that sort of aura around him. You know, I'm a big fan of the horse.
But by the same token, that isn't the A grade free for alls in Victoria now. So we'll learn more about him in the next couple of weeks, but I agree, San Carlo on the weekend, despite not having beaten much, just continues his trek to a Victoria Cup, doesn't he?
And also Good Time Heaven and Kai Valley Blur head north for success.
This was a really good meeting at Menangle on Saturday night. We saw Myfield Marshall, of course, for Tim Butt get the job done, second up from a break. But the two Victorians I guess most notably the winners were Kye Valley Blur, who went up there for a trot race. Really good placement by Brent Lilly to find that race and send the horse up. Mary's Favourite Son was also there for David Aiken. And then Good Time Heaven for Courtney Slater to go through that Evolution Series. You know, it was worth good money, the final $20,000, and she did it effortlessly, and we saw how good she can be through the Breeders' Crown Series. So it was a bit of a Friday night, Saturday night switch hit bond. There was plenty to watch over the weekend and some good performances at Menangle on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt I was most impressed by Good Time Heaven. We know who Kye Valley Blur is, yeah. So we didn't learn a hell of a lot there, but Good Time Heaven is one. I know you were sort of hearing around the block that this was going to be a very good horse before its first start at a trial, well, at Tabcorp Park Melton in particular, and went over to South Australia. And it does look like it has got the potential to be a very, very, very nice horse. So interesting that they've chosen this target, but it's obviously an appropriate one. She's doing well up there, so I just look forward to seeing her over the next 6 or 12 months because she looks a horse of the future.
Definitely. All right, Integrity Boost for HRV.
Yeah, this was announced last Friday. The Andrews.
It's going to be between your wage or the Integrity team, yeah, unfortunately.
We miss a boat again, but that happens. $3.1 million has been sort of promised over the next couple of years, and I think the good thing about this is that it's going to swabs, which will double over the next little while. Also out of competition testing and human samples, so really important stuff, and to get that boost, I think even in terms of investigative techniques, they'll be improved, more modern. The use of drones, which we've seen, will sort of continue. So I think it was, in a relatively quiet week, it was good to see that there's been some money pumped in to keep everything fair and equitable and even.
Yeah, great to have that support from the Victorian State Government, of course, and Martin Pakula to invest in the industry. What it does say to me is how expensive this game is. Now, you don't think about it too often, do you? But $3.1 million is essentially going to double the number of samples, swab samples that we get. That tells you just how tough it is to stay on top of the game in this game and in horse racing and sport in general. So it's a huge injection of funds, and it is going to make a significant difference. But, gee, it's a dear old game.
Also, the Inter-Dominion rankings have already caused an immediate debate.
Well, they do, but I mean, you know, we could bang on about this, you know, every single year.
I think there's too much controversy.
No, there is. There is a complete and utter bias to WA horses, and that's fine. That's their game. They want to run it that way. But look, I'm not going to point out specific horses that are in their wrong places, but. Yeah, I mean,
what caused him? It's San Carlo at 42.
Oh, I don't have a huge problem. He probably should be a bit higher. You know, there are a number of them that just WA horses are getting a leapfrogging over other horses because they're seen week in, week out in Perth.
I think the other factor we have to take into consideration is, has there ever been a horse who had seriously targeted the Inter Dominion Series in Perth, and as a result of first rankings, have not gone or have missed out on the series?
That makes it more of a joke. The problem is that if you do send a horse over there, you probably will get in.
You will.
It makes them completely useless.
No, it just creates a bit of... We're talking about it on the radio now. This is what it's about. You have these rankings. You get people up in arms a little bit.
I said it was a quiet week.
I don't think that anybody that's ever... Ideal for Real was a slightly interesting case. There was some furore last year.
Yeah.
And he's actually ranked higher this year than last, despite not having raced.
Yeah.
But that might be a measure of the strength of the nominations this year as opposed to 12 months ago. At the very top end, it's an outstanding list of horses. Probably falls away a little bit, largely because we're talking about so many WA horses.
Should Chicago Bull be number 3 in the rankings?
That's a bit of home ground advantage, probably. My concern is that I don't have a concern. Basically, I do believe that every horse that wants to go will get their opportunity to go, and I would hate to think Steve O'Donoghue and Rebecca Bartley would think to themselves, we can't head towards an Inter-Dominion target now because we're 42 in the opening rankings. I think if he's right to go and he's ready to roll, he'll be there and he'll be given a spot in the heats, Nuts.
Okay. Well, we've got Tim Budd as our special guest on Gate Speed today, who, of course, has got my field marshal heading towards a Vic Cup. How are you, Tim?
How are you, Phil? All good, thanks.
It was a great win over the weekend. How's he come through it?
Yeah, he freshened up well after Queensland, and that first run just topped him off, and he went terrific the other night, considering the work he did early.
Tim, we'll work our way backwards. I guess we were just talking about the Inter-Dominion and the rankings coming out. I spoke to you late last week, and you weren't 100% committed to going. You sort of believe there may be other targets for him. Have you changed your mind on that? Are you still thinking maybe Perth's off the radar? How do you see it right now?
Oh, no, it's still on the radar, for sure, you know what I mean? But we'll get through the Victoria Cup meeting and then go from there. You know, it's a big season ahead, and you know, all the travel to Perth and putting eggs in one basket, basically. So, but it all depends on what other horses do and how he is, you know, presenting at the time.
Tim, take us through the journey with My Field Marshal, because I think early doors, he wasn't one of the very, very best of his generation, sort of as a 2 and 3 year old. But I remember discussing the horse with you, particularly around his 3 year old season, and you were always of the opinion that he could make the grade. And obviously, as a 4 year old, he did a wonderful job over there winning the big races in New Zealand. But I don't think anybody realised how quickly he'd get to this Grand Circuit level. Two questions. Were you confident that he'd get to where he is as quickly as he has, and what did he show you as a younger horse that made you think that he could get to this level at some stage?
Oh, he always had a lot of speed, and you know, he was always quite an immature horse. You know, a lot of the art majors come early and you know, and level out, but he was sort of the opposite. I always had a bit of faith in him, but you never know. But you know, he ran third in the Breeders' Crown as a 2 year old, so you know, you're not far away, that sort of thing. But he had a wind operation midway through his 3 year old career with Alistair McLean. And that's been the difference, really. He's been, you know, a different horse since that.
What does the next couple of weeks look like heading towards that Victoria Cup, Tim? Will he have another start in Sydney, or is he straight to Melbourne now? How does it play out?
He's heading to Melbourne next Monday, so he'll be there 2 weeks before basically the smoking up the mile that he'll start in. So that'll just lead him into the Victoria Cup. So yeah, he's a great nick. He's quite seasoned, which is good. You know, a lot of these horses are still coming back, so. You'll have fitness on the ball, but you know, you just need a bit of luck in the running and that sort of thing. But you know, I'm pretty happy with his condition.
And Tim, take us through your move to Sydney. Of course, this has been all the rage, all the news. November, we're hearing, is a date that you'll take up some barns potentially in there at Tabcorp Park, Menangle. 20 horses, we're hearing, and you're going to keep a base in Canterbury as well. And there's going to be a partnership with Johnny Cox there. But take us through the whole operation and exactly what's been pivotal behind the move.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, we're going to be spending the summer in Aussie with a couple of horses anyway, and it's just the right time for me. I've got 4 kids, and they're sort of moving on in their lives. So, you know, just to challenge them at Angle, I think it's a great setup, and it gives me the opportunity to race in Victoria and in Queensland. And, you know, as I say, the training centre's state-of-the-art, and I think, you know, it's probably a place to be in the future. New Zealand's got a new handicapping system, and it's very negative against the top horses. So that hence the reason I think, you know, quite a few of these middle to top horses will end up racing in Australia.
Have you cornered your brother Anthony into coming up to drive for you yet, or is that still undecided?
Oh, he'll be there for the good ones, I suspect, but week by week it depends. You know, he's got a lot of commitments in Victoria and that sort of thing, but we'll work through a drive. There's plenty of good drives in Sydney, and you know, we've got to have the horses good enough for them to drive, but you know, we've got a 10 coming to start with, and we hope to build up and train for some Aussie train owners and that sort of thing. So, you know, we know what it takes on both sides of the Tasman, and, you know, we know what sort of horses we can buy, and we know who to buy off. So it gives you a leg up, really.
And I suppose having that connection to New Zealand as well, you won't just have to buy horses. You'll probably have a pretty good stream of Kiwi sending horses over to you.
Hopefully, yeah. We've got to keep the base going here, because we've got some nice young horses coming through. So, Johnny Cox is joining me. He's a great little horseman, and he gets an opportunity to step up and, you know, under my guidance. So, you know, I'm sure he'll be great. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Now, tell us, Tim, we need a little bit of help with these horses who are coming over. Can you tell us two or three, outside of the obvious in My Field Marshal, that you think can make a relatively good impact when you move to Sydney? And if Ants is going to just jump in as he does and take all the big drives, do we know who's likely to be taking on sort of the week-in, week-out operations for you in terms of a reins person there in New South Wales?
I haven't really got to the point of a driver of New South Wales yet, but I'm good mates with the McCarthy boys and all that sort of thing. And, you know, James Rattray is a great driver. Darren Hancock's driven winners for me. So there's plenty of options there. And we've just got to see who would like to commit to my team. That's probably the thing. But Let It Ride's a horse that I really think a lot of. He was immature last year, and he ran 6th in the Derby after a pretty hard race, and he's a Grand Circuit horse in the making. So we're going to see him in Victoria over the next month, and he'll stay and race around there till November. So he's one of the. So I've got another horse that's only won one race called Mount Hutt Harry, very green and a mature horse, but loads of ability. So there's three or four of them like that. So yeah,
this is This is some very good info, Jace.
Well, I'm marking it down on my page, I can tell you right now. But I guess this is a we always say this, don't we? Because it feels like there's been a relatively consistent changing of the guard over the last 12 to 18 months. But even I was thinking somebody sort of posited, who are your best five horses going around at the moment? It's such a strange time. It's an exciting time if you have got a potential Grand Circuit horse. As we say, look, Myfield Marshall, we know he's a really, really nice horse, but he's also around at sort of a pretty handy time, isn't he, Tim? And if you've got another one there and Let It Ride, who in the space of the next 12 months could be competing at a similar level, it's a good time to have a nice horse.
That's right. You know, there's so much money for the Grand Circuit horses, and with the age group racing in it now, some of them, you know, don't quite get to the level they should. And if you have, you know, have that in the back of your mind and you know, give them those spells and look after them, they generally can get through to that Grand Circuit company. And, you know, there's so many options when you're there. So, you know, it's going to be great, really.
You're obviously a Kiwi through and through, Tim. Is there any trepidation leaving the homeland and coming over here to settle full-time, or are you pretty comfortable with the decision?
Oh, no, I'm very comfortable with the decision. I've been in New Zealand, you know, trained and worked hard to get where we've gotten in life, and, you know, it's just a challenge, and I enjoy the Australian race, I enjoy the people, got a lot of good mates over there, and you know, so I've spent three months of the year there for the last 20 years anyway, probably, so, yeah, it's just a matter of doing the job and getting the right horses and, you know, and that sort of thing.
We can't convert you to the Wallabies, you'll always be an All Black.
Well, the Wallabies are a bit tough, but I like the Rugby League, I like the Melbourne Storm and those sort of things, so I'm sure I'll get an AFL team that I follow as well. So I like my sport, and it gives you a bit of grounding and keeps you level. So those sort of things are good.
Hopefully not a Sydney team, but we'll have to pitch our teams down here in Victoria.
Oh, I think what we've learned from Ants pretty clearly is that Tim likes being on a winner. He's going to stick with the All Blacks because they win. He's going to go with the Melbourne Storm even though he's moving to Sydney because they win. So I think if he finds an AFL team, he's going to watch the next week of footy pretty closely and try and work out who the winner's going to be. Look, we really appreciate your time this morning, Tim, and good luck with Myfield Marshall, who is the second favourite at the moment for the Victoria Cup. I think Blake was a little bit heartbroken when you said he probably wasn't going to the Inter Dominion. He might have had a long ranger there, so you might have just given him a little spruik there. He's just going to be watching this campaign and trying to give you a call every now and then and tell you when to give him a break and freshen him up to make sure he gets to Perth. But first things first, mate, hopefully he gets to the Victoria Cup in good health and runs a massive race for you in the middle of October.
That'd be great. No, thank you.
There he is, Tim Butt on Myfield Marshall. This is when it's just hit noon. Guys, what have we got coming up in trots this week?
Oh, well, there's plenty coming up in Victoria. We've got the Tailor-Made Lombo, which is going to be probably the key race from Melton on Friday night. Bon and Amaretto, she continues to beat up on this sort of field, so even better fields, you'd expect her to be very short in the Tailor-Made Lombo.
Yeah, we've got some nice races coming up in New Zealand as well, but from a Victorian perspective, that's sort of where it lives, the M2 to M4 is an interesting race. No superstars there, you wouldn't have thought apart. Mr. Mahina.
Harsh.
Or, no, some really, sorry, one, some really nice. Well, I mean, we're talking about Victoria Cups, maybe.
It's an M2 to M4, it's not a free-for-all.
All right. Mr. Mahina is the most interesting of the horses. We had a little chat a moment ago. Kieran Manning is flying at the moment with the horses that she's training, particularly those for Merv Butterworth, but also a lovely little mare named Amaretto. Mr. Mojito is slightly shorter than Amaretto at the moment in Victoria Cup markets, pre-post markets with the tab, is that right?
That is correct, I believe.
No, but I'm asking you, is it?
No, of course not. No. I think, I spoke to Karen maybe a week or two back, and I'm pretty sure that she believes that Amaretto is a better Victorian Cup winning chance, and from what I've seen, I wouldn't disagree with that, given what she's done.
And before we go, have you had a bet in the Victoria Cup yet in those pre-post markets? Because right now the tab's got the Victoria Cup, the...
He's trying to corny you, is he?
The New Zealand Cup and the Inter Dominion.
No, what he wants me to do is he wants me to say no and then say, but have you? And he's going to say, yes, I have.
Hey, it's about...
This is what it's all about.
It's about Glasnost, transparency here. I've had a bet on Amaretto and San Carlo, both at around your $15 and $17, I think they are, respectively. You haven't, that's okay. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You haven't had a bet.
Not yet.
All right, fair enough.
that's the tail of the tape.
But very soon, we're not that actually that far away, so we need to start declaring sort of who our long-range tips are pretty soon. Maybe not right now.
Do you want to do next week?
I'd say next week we've got to sort of put our necks on the line and say who we think are the top three tips in the Victoria Cup.
Inter-Dominion.
Okay, we'll do that then next
week. All right, sounds good.
Yeah, all right. Then you can tell me what else you've backed in the week, all right?
No worries.
There'll be plenty to go through.
There'll be plenty to go through.
We'll give you an hour, all right?
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Nads.
Bye.